This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jeffrey B. Graham Perspectives on Ocean Science Lecture here at Birch Aquarium at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, UC San Diego. We are delighted to welcome you to our unique presentation tonight entitled Indigenous Ocean Culture, a Renaissance. Tonight we are hosting the third and final presentation related to our exhibition, Embodied Pacific, Ocean Unseen. Indeed, Indigenous knowledge is like an unseen ocean, broad, deep, and life-giving. With this lecture, Indigenous leaders will share so that we might see and hear their knowledge and wisdom as we journey together to greater understanding and better protection of our ocean planet. Three leaders from local Indigenous communities will share tonight, but before I introduce them, I would like to read a land and culture acknowledgement written by Kumeyaay scholar Michael Connolly Misquish. And that text is here for you to see as well. We stand upon a land that carries the footsteps of millennia of Kumeyaay people. The Kumeyaay are a people whose traditional life ways intertwine with a worldview of earth and sky in a community of living beings. This land is part of a relationship that has nourished, healed, protected, and embraced the Kumeyaay people to the present day. It is part of a worldview founded in the harmony of the cycles of the sky and balanced in the forces of life. For the Kumeyaay, red and black represent the balance of those forces that provide for harmony within our bodies as well as the world around us. As community members, we acknowledge this legacy from the Kumeyaay. We promote this balance in life as we pursue our goals of knowledge and understanding. We find inspiration in the Kumeyaay spirit to open our minds and hearts. It is the legacy of the red and black. It is the land of the Kumeyaay. Ayeyahan, my heart is good. And just to let you know, Michael Connolly Misquish is working on a book called Kumeyaay on the Coast, and we'll let you know when that comes out. I am going to give a brief bio of our three illustrious speakers, and then they will come up one by one to talk with you about their work. Dr. Stan Rodriguez of the Ipai Nation of Santa Isabel is an esteemed scholar and educator in Indigenous language revitalization, Kumeyaay history, culture, and language. He has many accolades and awards and does not fit into any box. Those who know him will agree, a very special person. He has a breadth of leadership and teaching roles across multiple organizations, including Kumeyaay Community College, UC San Diego, University of San Diego, and Cal State San Marcos. He teaches workshops and symposiums around the world. Dr. Stan earned a doctorate from UC San Diego. He is a Navy veteran. He serves on the board of the Advocates for Indigenous Culture Language Survival and is a California Native American Heritage Commissioner. Priscilla Ortiz-Sawa, a member of the Ipai Nation of Santa Isabel and descendant of Rincon, Payamkuicham Luceño, is a rising leader in Native education and Indigenous cultural revitalization. She teaches and coordinates numerous programs with Kumeyaay Community College, Atahumpomquan, the California Indian Manpower Consortium, and Our Worlds. In her work as a language teacher and youth mentor, she always nurtures the fire within everyone she encounters. During her time as Ms. Kumeyaay in 2022-23, Priscilla used her platform to educate Native and non-Native community members about Kumeyaay history, legacy, and culture. She is pursuing further education in continuing service to her community. Andrew James Pittman of the Los Coyotes Band of Kuya and Cupeno Indians and descendant from the Ipai Nation of Santa Isabel is a filmmaker who documents Indigenous culture and perspectives dedicated to serving the sovereign tribal nations of San Diego County and beyond. With his partner, Lisette Valencia Pittman, Andrew is founder and principal of Condor Visual Media and Tribal Nation News. Andrew creates media on multiple subjects, including Kumeyaay Ocean culture revitalization, as you will see in Embodied Pacific and tonight's presentation. Andrew and Lisette are currently working on a feature-length documentary entitled Mathau, The Fire Within Us. And as Harry said, I'm Dr. Nan Renner, Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships here at Birch Aquarium and co-curator of Embodied Pacific, and I am honored to be in community and collaboration with these fine people. Oh, that's me. last summer, Stan and I and some of his students and family members traveled to Peru, and he'll be talking about that, but this is in Peru. Several years ago, on the campus of Scripps Oceanography, I met Dr. Stan Rodriguez, and when he learned that I work here at Birch Aquarium, he said emphatically, the Kumeyaay are people of the ocean and coast, not just the valleys, mountains, and desert. We have to do something with Kumeyaay language and culture at Birch Aquarium. And since then, with the help of many colleagues, we have been asking the question, how might we make Birch Aquarium more representative, welcoming, and inclusive of Indigenous people? We will continue to ask and answer that question in the years to come. We acknowledge that the work of Kumeyaay Ocean Culture Revitalization has been ongoing for decades. And tonight, we have the opportunity to bear witness, to participate, learn, support, and enjoy. So enjoy the evening. Dr. Stan?
Okay, I pay my tipecham. So many children, you must pay with Conan. Pay the hay way, you pay. Hey, pay, you have seen the way. You pull my canap. Move over, you are any hop. You pull my pill, you wake up. So I just want to welcome all of you here. My name is Stan Rodriguez. I am from the Ipai Nation of San Isabel. How many of you ever been to San Isabel? How many of you ever been to Julian? How many of you ever had one of those Julian apple pies? Are they pretty tasty? They brought the apples from Washington. But anyway, I just want to welcome you here. Mike, is that you over there? All right, welcome, Mike. We have the great Michael Mishwish here in the back. No pressure, Mike. So anyway, just wanted to talk a little bit about our ocean knowledge. You can advance the slides. And I only have 15 minutes, so when she kicks me, that means I need to stop. All right. So one of the things that when I first met Nan, Dr. Nan, when I first met Doctor, one of the things I said was, what are we doing at the coast? What are we doing to bring back our knowledge? It has been said that all of our knowledge, everything that we are, is housed in a giant Askai. Say that, Askai. Not bad. That means a clay pot. That due to the encroachment that came, that pot was shattered on the rocks. And every community has a part of it. This, what we're doing, the Hakwayowacho, or making tule boats. There was one community left of all the Kumeyaay communities on both sides of the border. It was Mapurhau, San Jose de la Zora. And one of the elders, she showed me how to make it. She said that she does not want this knowledge to die. She wants people to learn it. She was taught. And she told me stories when they would go down in the spring to gather mussels, to gather seaweed, to gather fish, gather lobsters. How many of you like seafood? As we say in Fumiai, come to me. We'll go and do some gathering. So anyway, we did these things. We went, and she taught how to do it. We brought the knowledge back over here on this side of the border. It's all Kumeyaay territory. So we started doing it. Now, Mr. Pittman, Andrew James Pittman over here, he asked me, he said, Stan, we have so many pictures of people on tule boats, but we never have a picture of you. Well, this is like the Titanic, but no. Actually, I have to say this. The first tule boat, I was Larry the crash dummy. They put me on. I was the first one to go. I did it, made some donuts in the bay, came back, and I give everybody else the opportunity. Was that beautiful? All right. So anyway, one of the things about transmitting knowledge, we can either do it as a lecture, but that's not our native way. If you want to learn, you come out. You will be with us. You will go out and harvest. And, Andrew and Priscilla, and fantastic Sam, everybody, I mean, you know, your wife, your son, we've all gone out there, harvested tule. That, you know, we've gone out there, and sometimes we're like, we're hot, we're tired, but we keep going. And then we bring it and we show people how to do it. Now, how many of you ever been on a boat? Okay. These are a little bit different. How many of you would go on this? Okay, half of you. All right. That's all right. So, you know what? When you make your own boat, from the time that you cut the tule to when you're in the water, it's all a process. It's a spiritual thing, because that tule is a living being and it gives itself to us so we can do this. So we're teaching the young people how to do this boat, to make these. Now, how many of you are perfectionists? For those of you, how many are perfectionists? All right. You perfectionists, look at me. All right. It will not help you if I'm teaching you, man. You will melt down like every wife I've had. But anyway, so the thing is, you learn by doing. And that which is worth being done is worth being done poorly at first. I don't want to get in your boat, but, you know, it's being done poorly at first, but then you make progress. So this is what we have. We launched 50 tule boats in the bay. And we had no problem finding people to jump in and try it out. This was something that hadn't been done for many, many years. And as you heard before, when the Spaniards first came, they said they'd seen a bunch of crazy Indians hunting whales on grass boats. We're not crazy, we just know what we're doing. How many of you would go hunting for a whale in a tule boat if you don't know what you're doing? Yeah, so that knowledge is transmitted. And along with the knowledge, our creation story, all these things that go with it, not just making the tule boats, but fishing, netting, other foods, such as, how many of you like lobster? How many of you like crab? Mussels? Clams? You gotta hang out with us. As we, you know, harvesting all these things. And when we teach harvesting, we teach how to do it sustainably. Because we as human beings, we are part of nature. We're not different. All of our relatives too, the fish, all the other animals, the sea urchin, everything. Everybody has a right to live. and they need food. So we take what we need and we leave the rest. So we teach them. That boat, we put 14 people on it. Nobody drowned. So it was beautiful. The one young girl that was in the front, she was scared at first, and then she took the lead. So by doing this, it's part of our healing, too. It teaches people many different things, such as self-efficacy and the ability to bring back something that has almost gone dormant. So we're here, and I'll just say, Mike and a number of us, did you go down there when we went? Yes, we went. We went down to San Quintin. How many of you ever been down there? It's nice out there, huh? We were on the beach. We were gathering tar. We were gathering shellfish, clams, and had a nice little feed out there. We also taught how to get salt out of the water. How many of you ever tried that? All this is knowledge that we pass on to our next group. So all this is very important for who we are as a people. And right there is Mike talking about the Kumeyaay cosmology and how it fits in with us as a people. So the thing is, not one of us knows everything. All of us has a piece. And when we bring that together, it makes us all stronger. As I said earlier, everything that we are is like what was in a giant pot. But one time my teacher, I wanted to learn how to make pottery. So I was making a pot, got the clay from the mountains, ground it up, mixed it with water, made a pot, and then was ready to fire it. I was ready to heat that thing up, and the fire, it exploded my pot. How many of you ever done pottery? How many of you ever been bummed out like that? I have failed. But my teacher, she just looked at me, and she said, grab those shards, bring them over. Go get new clay, grind it. So I did. She ground up the shards. She said, this is your past. What you have just ground up is the present. Mix it together. The past is temper. It will make sure this pot will not break. You will have a strong pot. And it was right. And that's just like how we are doing. And we learn from other people. This was Nan. That's not Nan there, but she was with us. When we were in Peru viewing the tulipop construction over there. So throughout the Pacific coast, there are groups that have used tuliboats. And they were showing us some of their techniques. Now, they cheat. They stick styrofoam and stuff in there. I gotta say this, as Kumeyaays, we are purists. Okay. So, but it works. I mean, hey, you know, fidelity versus adaptivity. You know, you got to go with that sometimes. So anyway, how many of you ever been to Peru? How many of you ever been to Lake Titicaca? Ooh, we went up there. Boats are big. Nan and I and family members, we were chewing away on coca leaves. We looked like chipmunks. You know, it's, how many thousands of feet up were we? Anyway, we needed oxygen. But we got to work with the native people over there. They showed us a lot of their techniques and beautiful people. Right there were at an Airbnb on one of the islands. So that thing was floating, bouncing all over the place. It was cool. So anyway, they showed us a lot of things and, that knowledge that we have, we share with others. So, and finally, this is the one that we were building here. This one can maybe hold 50 people. Before we could finish, the sun went down. And have you ever heard the term, 86 is your lucky number? Well, that's what they told us. Get out of here. You got to go. So we had to leave. We couldn't launch it yet, but we're looking forward to launching in June or July. How many of you would like to come out when we do it? All right. How many of you want to try it? Get in there. How many of you are bold, man? All right. I believe in you. You just need to show up. So, as we used to say at the San Isabel Casino, home of the 495 prime rib, I'm done. All right, thank you.
Man, that's tough to follow. you know, Stan, he talked a lot about what our community's doing and how our community's built. And I think today I'm going to talk about the community and how it's built me into being a future Stan, a future knowledge keeper and bearer like that. And, you know, the main organization that I really have to thank for my continued growth right now, my growth as a Kumeyaay woman, as a Kumeyaay knowledge keeper, is Kumeyaay Community College. So I'll be shuffling through a few pictures here. I'm not going to be really speaking on every single one, but just kind of showing the community that we have at Kumeyaay Community College. It was established in 2005. We offer an associate's degree, and we work in partnership with Cuyamaca. So that's how I came to learn about Kumeyaay Community College, was I enrolled in Cuyamaca at their program and saw that they had the Kumeyaay Studies classes. So I decided to take it. I was invited by Stan Rodriguez to do our language immersion program, which you could see our graduation pictures of. And I had a really great time connecting. It was one of the first times that I experienced my Indigenous curriculum in a classroom setting in a way that was made for me. Like, I was going to school and it was made for me, the language, the, you know, the history and everything. So it was really empowering to have, you know, a Kumeyaay teacher like Stan teaching me Kumeyaay history. And that's kind of where I fell in love with, like, this could be my path. I could do education. I could also be a fellow educator, because I grew up in Valley Center, so it's more northern, more inland, and we have about 8 reservations around Valley Center. They're Payomquichum and they're Kumeyaay folk, and even the students that I went to school with didn't know about my reservation that was like 5 miles away from them, or they knew about us, but they didn't know, you know, that we still spoke our language, or they knew that we had a casino, but they didn't know that we still did our traditional gatherings. And so I kind of also grew up with that miseducation, because in my high school classes and my middle school classes, I heard a very different history than what my grandma and my aunties were telling me. So I definitely, like, I even remember a paper I wrote in high school talking about the two different worlds that I live in and how it feels to wear, you know, your ribbon skirt on the weekend and go to ceremony and do all of this stuff, but then also go back to school and, you know, try to wear those Old Navy jeans and fit in with all the girls that, you know, aren't built like you. You know, you have the broad Indian shoulders and stuff. So, you know, I was always jumping back and forth of, like, you know, do I stay in Indian country? Do I go out into the Western world? And, you know, I feel like with KCC, I found that tie where I can go back to my Indigenous roots and learn about the history, and I can learn about it written by my people. You know, having books written by people like Mike Connolly and reading books by Miss Cuero and stuff, seeing that published, it's really empowering for me as a young woman. And we really wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for the continued support of the greater community of San Diego coming out and joining us in these, joining our partnerships. We have Stan here building, I think, at Cuyamaca, right? So this house was built at Cuyamaca? Yeah. So we just have a lot of partnerships out around there, and it's been really motivating to be a part of this community, a part of these workshop programs. I just got hired on as the summer workshop coordinator for KCC. So as Stan mentioned, we'll be having our Thule boat launch event, but we'll also be offering other workshops like pottery, awa making. We'll even do a native cooking foods class and everything. And all of this is in an effort to reunite our Kumeyaay community. So as mentioned before, I think it was in one of the earlier videos that we shared, but the Kumeyaay Nation stretches this far north, as far up as Escondido. You could see we have present-day Mesa Grande, Santa Isabel, but our lands, our Kumeyaay people traveled even further north than that, established more communities, and then you see that we have our community that continues down here in Mexico, and then you see us going east and west, both sides of California. And just knowing that these workshops and these programs that we're providing, it's reuniting a whole region of people, a whole generation of people that were split. And it's not hard. It's getting together. It's coming together, jumping in the back of Stan's truck at 7 a.m. sometimes to go and gather agave. It's staying up on Zoom calls past 7:30, 8:30, 9 o'clock, trying to plan and see if our permit can come in. It's doing talking circles of seeing, you know, does this work for this group of kids, or do we need to shift it a little bit? Do we need to meet our reservation kids out where they are? Just a lot of adjustment. KCC has definitely shown me that you don't got to do things the status quo way. And just as Stan said, like, if there's a will, there's a way. This knowledge needs to come out. And I think we're finding really creative ways to bring our knowledge to the forefront and to share it with each other. Definitely grateful to be mentored by people like Stan Rodriguez. And I'm also really grateful to be in a position now where I can mentor the young youth. So up here I have a couple pictures of participants of my youth council, United Atahum. They're based out of the Rincon Reservation, but they make up Kuya youth, Kumeyaay youth, and Paon Kwichum youth. These are the people that I'll be passing the torch on to and training as I come up, but I really do want to give homage to them because they're doing the works within their communities right now, allowing me to have space to come and talk to communities like you. So, Nacha Sheahan, my heart is good, and thank you, everybody.
Okay, Ipen Yamat, Andrew Pittman, Nachuhi, Epsi, Kopai, Napum, Elkwanan, Kopai, Nashamul, Matawir. Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew Pittman. I'm from Los Coyotes in Santa Isabel. My Ipe clan is Matawir. I greeted you in the Ipea, the language of the Ipai and Pipai people, also known as the Kumeyaay people. And the land we are on today is Matkulahui, the land of caves, the land of the Kumeyaay. Usually, I need to write things down. It helps with my concentration. But I thank everybody for being here and being open and receptive to this information. It's a lot of knowledge to take in, and doing documentary work is super important to me, but because of the way that it helps transmit information into my community. You can't be everywhere at once, and in all honesty, I've struggled with, as I grew up in my community, it was always, you know, don't record certain things, don't document this, or even people just feeling uncomfortable to be documented. We've heard that phrase of, you know, a picture steals your soul, and it does. It really does. But understanding, too, that in that effort of knowledge transmission, documenting is preserving. In the day and age that we're in today, we have far too many people who just don't have an interest in their community, in their culture. But there are still plenty of people that are actively working, developing, reaching out in education. So it's what Priscilla had mentioned of that balance of two worlds, living in two different worlds. The one of our ancestors and the one of today. And what today looks like is very complicated. It's messy. It's not straightforward. It's not communal a lot of times. And when creating videos through Condor Visual Media, something that I stand on is that our videos are not meant to show you how to do something. Here's a step-by-step process on how to make a tule boat. because what we want is the video to be encouraging, to be a catalyst of interest to our community members, but also our non-community members of, wow, what is that? How can I be a part of that? Because that's where the heart of this comes from, is in community. It's in hands-on activity, right? So I stand firm on that. And I think by reaching a lot of people through video transmission, we're able to encourage them to come out, to participate, to be excited about something. You mentioned to somebody, hey, come out and participate in a Thule boat making. Well, what is that? I don't understand. And you can show them a quick video or a photograph and encourage them to take that chance, take a healthy risk. I forgot, there's pictures, right? But overall, doing this work has been really inspirational because I'm afraid of the water. Yeah, it's something I don't really say a lot, but my whole childhood I've grown up afraid of depth of water, being in dark water and the unknown. And we talk about taking a healthy risk. Well, being in a Thule boat, that was a healthy risk for me. Being a part of something that my ancestors did and still do today is amazing. This is Thule, which is harvested to make the boats, of course. And you cannot just expect to show up at a Thule boat making event and say, hey, I know how to do this now, right? No. It's the effort. And when you put the effort into going out, harvesting Thule, cutting that, spending hours in the hot sun, or sometimes in the sticky mud, slipping in the mud, and then letting that dry out and be patient, right? This is not something that's an immediate reward, right? You put effort into it, you wait for it to dry out, and then you start tying it together, and that takes time as well. And then you can finally say, hey, it's finished and it's complete, and now I need people to haul it into the water, right? This is something that's a group activity, community activity. There's Dr. Stan, of course, working hard. I'm also very grateful to be in the documentary world because it's given me the opportunity to, in a different way, learn knowledge from my elders, from my community members. The work that we do is focused here on our San Diego tribal nations. We don't necessarily venture out too far outside of San Diego because for me, this is where I'm learning. This is where I'm gaining knowledge, where, you know, it's helped me in my vision of how can I serve my community. These are, of course, some drone shots over here. I gave Nan quite a few photos, so try and work through these here real quick. Tonap, tying the Thule reeds with Tonap, the rope. It's one of our events. Of course, you know, it's a multi-generational event, right? You have young little ones, you have elders, you have everybody in between, and everybody's learning, right? We're reconnecting with this knowledge. This is something that I've heard stories of tribal members, of community members say, I don't need to do this or partake in this because I have a modern convenience. But these modern conveniences may not be available to us in the future. And what I always tell my family, my son, is that we're learning these life ways. They're not survival skills, not yet. They're life ways, right? This was just daily part of our community doings, right? And if we're not learning and retaining this knowledge today, maybe my son, Joaquin, maybe my grandchildren, they might need this knowledge. You can never be too sure of yourself that everything's going to be okay and easy, right? But if we fall back on our native life ways, our indigenous life ways, we will endure as we always have, as we are here today. It's always about planning for the future, right? So I don't need this right now, somebody might say, but you don't know what 100 years from now looks like, right? And I'm also inspired by Priscilla, who has just, you know, I've had the privilege of seeing our community young adults take lead in knowledge transmission and then reciprocating that to younger generations. And to see Priscilla take part of helping community members learn these ways is really inspiring. And not all the time do we get to be in the boats, right? Students want that opportunity, so taking a step back with that. This is a great photo. We know Dr. Stan loves to take photographs, and this is him, of course, taking a photograph of the great knowledge transmission that occurred on this day. And you have everybody just being in the water and enjoying themselves and being at peace, right? And we're getting these young people out. We're getting all people out to be in nature. And I think that's where the root of this is important for me, is seeing people out in nature and being at peace. There's me, of course, because, you know, it's, I don't know much. I'm still learning, right? And this transmission of knowledge is, I'm super grateful for my Cuchumayo, Stanley Rodriguez, for Mike Connolly Misquish, for other elders that I've encountered and listened to. It's all about listening. And, you know, hoping that I'll have the ability to be able to transmit this knowledge to others in a good way as well. Dr. Stanley mentioned, you know, who's a perfectionist? Well, I'm one of those people. And I remember Dr. Stanley was transmitting knowledge of, in at KCC, Kumeyaay Community College, how to make a willow basket. And he said, your great Aunt Bonnie taught me how to do this. And I'm transmitting that information to you now. Well, it wasn't going well for me, and I'm sitting here frustrated. How is this so easy for everybody else, but not for me? Well, it's because I'm stuck in that perfectionist mindset, you know? I've also remembered something that Dr. Stan mentioned before of, you know, it's one thing to spend a lot of time on the craft of what you're making, but sometimes we didn't have the luxury of that time. Sometimes it was, we had to get this done quickly and, you know, to get it done you know, go for hunting, go out there, the whales, they might move, right? So you have to do these things quick and in preparation for that. So sometimes breaking that mentality of being a perfectionist, being open to taking time, being patient, learning and coming back, right? Not knowing it on the first try and being in humility of that. I still have yet to master the willow basket, but I'm hoping to, and it's all time. This is Language Immersion Program. This was an amazing program where I hope there are more of them. It was a full-time commitment in the winter of 2021 going into 22. It was 40 hours a week for about 4 or 5 weeks straight. That's not something commonly available, right? So to be able to take that on and participate, we've seen plenty of our classmates go on into leadership roles within their community, and just continuing that transmission of knowledge. And of course, that was a language immersion program, which was to just get us acquainted with the language. I can listen to Stan speak, and I can hear words, and I can identify words, but I'm still learning to be a conversational speaker. But my son, however... he's 5 now, but when he was 4, his teacher had come up to me, his preschool teacher, and she said, "Your son is teaching us these words, you know, Enya, the sun, and Heshya, the moon, right, Joaquin?" Yeah. And that's what it's about, right? It's about, I was stuck up on this idea that because there are, you know, so few fluent speakers, there are plenty of people who can, speak words and start conversation, but there are so few fluent speakers left binationally of this language that I felt the stress and the pressure of, you know, I have to learn this fluently, I have to be perfect in this, but learning that it's not about that, but me starting as an adult in this language immersion. But my son now has a start from a young age, and he can carry that on and continue practicing that. But it was great to see this program, come to fruition and, just all of us participating and having a good time in community. It wasn't a typical structure of write these notes down. In fact, our language, of course, is oral history. And Stan was very adamant on doing the best we could without writing things down. You see that often in our communities where, you want to standardize something. This is how the word is spelled. This is how, and it helps with language acquisition. But reminding ourselves that this language, this knowledge was oral and that it was all about listening and spending time and knowing and listening, right? There's that great big Thule boat that I think there was like 14 people on. Quite amazing to see that out there in the bay. And, they'll just keep getting bigger and bigger, right? This is a learning operation and, figuring out different ways to do things and to have fun while doing it. The Grunion Run, that's a neat experience to participate in as well. And paying respect to these creatures that provide food and nourishment for us, right? These are fish that lay their eggs in the sand. Of course, some of you probably know that. But waiting for them, right, out of respect for their process, letting them continue that life way of theirs, and giving respect to them. Hey, and we see that afterwards. No. this is a part of our language immersion program, which, is going out and just listening to words and being a part of our community and going to places that, aren't always accessible to us. Time's up. Oh, okay. Well, anyway. with that, I just want to remind folks that, San Diego is a box that we're all familiar with. But there are four main groups of people in the county of San Diego. That's Gumiai, Luseno, Kuia, and Copeño. And out of those four groups of people, there are 17 sovereign nations. And you may be familiar with some, and there are some that you may not be familiar with. But that's the highest concentration of sovereign nations in any county in the United States. And I think that says a lot about our communities here. And not having this umbrella of, hey, these are all natives, and we have that idea of what a native or an Indian person is through historical film, right? But we all have different cultures. We all say hello differently. We all have different life ways. Some of them cross paths with each other. And of course, we all traded and had marriages. But, to understand that you can't apply one idea across all of us. So keep that in mind. And, there are plenty of resources available. Kumeyaay Community College is one of those. So thank you for your time. If you'd like more information, we do have the film that you had seen earlier here at the Birch Aquarium. But I encourage you to really take a step.
What do you say? Oh. Machuhan.
No, we don't. No, I just sorry, Stan. And that's what we're going to next. Yeah. So let me bring that back up. Yeah, I got it. Let's just let the film do the talking, right?
We say, Machuhan, Machuhan to the true land, the land of our people. We, as Kumeyaay people, we are people of the islands, the Coronado Islands, the ocean, the valleys, the mountains, the desert, parts of the Colorado River and parts of the Sea of Cortez. All of this is our traditional territory.
A day like this, to see Indigenous culture being celebrated on a space that isn't originally meant to be an Indigenous space, is really powerful for me.
Indigenous Ocean Day centers Indigenous people and ocean culture, so we can be in community together and learn together how to better understand and protect our ocean planet.
All we're doing is celebrating the space that Indigenous people take and that our San Diego community is making for us, coming together to really celebrate all the partnerships that have gone on. There's a lot of partnerships that make the youth programming, the elder programming, education programming available and possible on our reservations. So it's really just coming to say hi, to say hauka, and to remember to see each other's fire within each other.
Over several years, we've been building trust, building relationships and partnerships to make Indigenous Ocean Day possible. We have 13 Indigenous-led organizations here sharing their knowledge, information, opportunities, and resources, really focused on cultivating the interests and the talents and the learning pathways for Native youth and their families.
A lot of these organizations are here because they have done some type of work with Scripps or UCSD in a way that can bring us together. You know, we're showing research projects that are being done on the campus, being presented to our Native communities. Our Native communities coming here and seeing what resources and what education is available to them. You know, this day might inspire our next oceanographers of Kumeyaay country, of Luseno country. Thank you to everybody that came out. Thank you to everybody that organized and made this day possible. Again, these relationships that we're starting is not just with the people, you know, the name holders that we're carrying today, but it's within the institutions that we're working with, Kumeyaay Community College, UCSD. This is a relationship that's going to go on forever, and I'm just really excited to see what comes.
When we're confronted with something that we don't know or that we're a little bit of afraid of, we all have this fear. But the song's saying, keep going. Don't be scared. You have to keep going. We can't just stand here and do nothing, be stagnant. We got to keep going. Keep going as people, coming together as people. Got to keep doing things like this.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.